The Gospel according to Luke. In the 8th chapter. And we read there in verses 2 and 3. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. I want, with the Lord's help today, to consider another one of the wonderful women that we meet with in God's Word. And the woman we want to consider today is that woman who's mentioned in verse 3. She's called Joanna. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward. Now, it must be observed that preaching the gospel and thereby showing the glad tidings of salvation was the great work in the earthly ministry of Christ. His working miracles was subservient to this, that is, his preaching, and were for the confirmation of the doctrine that he preached. And with a burning desire, the Lord Jesus went forth to spread the message of salvation. And we're told in verse 1 that he went throughout every city and village. He went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. But as he went throughout every city and village, he wasn't alone. Because we're told, and the 12 were with him, and certain women. Now we know the identity of the 12 disciples. But who were the certain women? We are given the names of 3 of them. We're told that one was called Mary Magdalene, whom we have already considered in this study, and then Joanna, and Susanna. Now we know more about Mary Magdalene than we know about Joanna. And we know more about Joanna than we do about Susanna. Because this is the only place that we find the name Susanna. She's not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. Now, we may not know much about her, but we know that she was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And we know also that she served the Lord. She was one of those women who ministered unto the Lord of her substance. And that's about all that we know about Joanna. We have her name, and we are told what she did, but that's it. But you know, believer, there is a great lesson to learn there. Susanna is just mentioned once, and we're given a very broad description of what she did. And this should remind us that it doesn't matter what we do for the Lord, and however menial those tasks may be, even as the Lord said, if we give a cup of cold water to someone in his name, that deed will be recognized and recorded. And here we have Susanna's name recorded. And yet we're told very little about what she did. No details are given. But the Lord recognized her and recognized what she did. And her name is recorded in Holy Writ. And whatever we do for the Lord, known or unknown, small or great, whatever deed we do in the Lord's name, the Lord will recognize it and He will reward us for what we do for Him. But it's not Mary Magdalene nor Susanna that we want to consider this morning. It is Joanna. She is another one of the wonderful women that we meet with in the Word of God. And as I was in the course of studying, Joanna suddenly struck me, we'll have Joanna here on Tuesday night. And I wasn't thinking of her when I began the study, but when I began the study, then I thought of Joanne or Joanna, who'll be with us on Tuesday evening. So it sort of confirmed to me this was the right word for today. As we look at this Joanna and what is recorded about her, there's not much, but there's enough to tell us something wonderful about this woman. I want first of all to consider this woman, Joanna, was a woman who was delivered by Christ. Joanna, a woman delivered by Christ. Joanna was one of a number of women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And there we are given something of her history, if you like. We could say her medical history. This is all we know about Joanna prior to her meeting with Christ and being delivered by Him. For we're told there was the 12 and who were with Him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And so all the women mentioned here had all been delivered by Christ from their evil spirits and their infirmities. She had, like Mary Magdalene, been afflicted. Maybe she had been afflicted by evil spirits. On the other hand, perhaps her complaint was some other infirmity, physical or maybe mental, we don't know. But whatever her condition was and her infirmity was, the Lord had met with her somewhere in some place. And Christ had changed her life. She had been delivered either from evil spirits or from some infirmity. Indeed, we are told more about Joanna after she had met Christ, after she had been delivered by the Lord, than anything about her prior to that meeting. Think of that. We're told more about Joanna after she had been delivered by Christ. Her life as a disciple of the Lord was more interesting and makes more interesting reading than her former life. What's interesting about the fact that Joanna either had an evil spirit or was afflicted by some infirmity? What's interesting about that? What's appealing about that? Not much. But when you read that Joanna was one of those who ministered unto Him of their substance, now that makes interesting reading. And elsewhere in Luke and Mark, we read about Joanna. Makes far more interesting. And you know, whenever we were saved and the Lord met with us and delivered us, has our lives not been more interesting from the time that Christ delivered us from our evil spirits and our infirmities? I believe every Christian here can testify to that fact, that life more interesting, with more to live for, have we not? With more to look forward to. And we have more love in our hearts since the day that the Lord delivered us from our sin. Just as the life of blind Bartimaeus was more interesting to him after he met Christ. For up until that time, Bartimaeus knew nothing but a life of darkness and begging. But when the Lord Jesus met with Bartimaeus, he opened his eyes and made the blind man see. And if you were to interview Bartimaeus, you could ask him, which life would he rather live? The life that he lived before he met Christ, or the life he lived after he met Christ? I think the answer is obvious. And you take Legion. Was his life not more interesting after the Lord delivered him? A man whose life had been governed by many evil spirits. Spirits that had turned that man really into a madman. Driven him from his home and his family. Driven him from friends to live in a graveyard. Then when he met Christ, and the Lord cast out the evil spirits, and the people came to see this man, Legion, what a change had been wrought in his life. For there he was, sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. And afterwards he wanted to be a missionary. He wanted to go with Christ. Instead, the Lord says, go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord had done for thee. His life was more interesting. And the life of Joanna was more interesting. And the life of Bartimaeus was more interesting. After he had been delivered by Christ, you think of the man who led the gate beautiful. Begging again, Peter and John went up to the house of God to worship. And in the name of Christ, they delivered that man from his awful life of begging. And the change was immediate. For it says, he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entering with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What a change. That's what you like to hear. What do we want to know about a man or a woman's past sinful life? We want to know what the Lord has done for them since he delivered them, and indeed what they have done for the Lord. And that's what this is all about. What the Lord did for Joanna and what she did for the Lord. What happened to Joanna after that great change that took place when the Lord delivered her? Joanna and Susanna and Mary Magdalene and all the women could say, since Christ my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me, and earth's sorrows and its woes, 'tis heaven my Jesus here to know. What a change! And dear Christian, we have all experienced that change. I much would prefer to live the life that I lived after I met Christ than the life before. Far more interesting. Now, having seen something of her history, let us now consider her healer. Luke records for us, and certain women which had been healed. And so sometime, somewhere, the women mentioned here met Christ. And he healed them, including Joanna. Now, whatever her affliction might have been, the Savior healed her of it. You see, the Lord Jesus, during his years of ministry upon earth, never saw an affliction that he could not heal. He never saw a need that he could not meet. He never saw a sinner that he could not save. He never saw a life that he could not change. He was always victorious. He was never, ever defeated by any infirmity, by any need, by any burden, by any sinner. Indeed, when you think of it, it says that the 12 were with him and certain women. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits. And it goes down to verse 3, and many others, that is, many other women. Mary Magdalene had different needs to Joanna. Joanna had different needs to Susanna. And they all had different needs to all the other women who ministered unto Christ. They all had different needs, but listen, Christ met them all. They all had different afflictions and infirmities, but Christ cured them all. Nobody went away from the Lord disappointed. Their lives had been changed by the Lord Jesus. And a great change was wrought in the life of Joanna by the healing power of the Lord Jesus. It is interesting when we look at the meaning of the name Joanna. For Joanna means the Lord is gracious. It can also mean Jehovah has shown favor. The Lord is gracious, or Jehovah has shown favor. And how wonderfully her name describes what the Lord Jesus did for her. For what did the Lord do? Why, he favored her. He, being Jehovah, favored Joanna. He extended his grace to Joanna. The Lord is gracious. Jehovah has shown favor. And he favored Joanna as he favored Mary Magdalene, as he favored Susanna, and believer, as he has favored us. He has favored us. He has extended his grace to us. The hour that we were saved, we experienced the saving grace of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. No, by grace are ye saved through faith. Grace. That's why we love to sing about God's grace. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Grace that covered all my sins. But there's another thought here with regard to the Lord, Joanna's healer. Her name, as we have said, means the Lord is gracious. Jehovah has shown favor. Now we all are aware of the fact that when the Jews gave their children names, they gave them names that meant something. They gave them a name that was maybe related to some event. Well, here when Joanna's parents gave her this name, they would have been aware that the name Joanna means the Lord is gracious, or Jehovah has shown favor. And not only would her parents have known the meaning of the name Joanna, but other Jews would have known what Joanna meant. And so the thought is that wherever Joanna went, whatever company she was in, whatever town or village she was in, when she made herself known and made known her name, people would have known Joanna's name means the Lord is gracious. And so what do we have? We have here a woman who through her name, wherever she went, was a witness to the grace and the favor of God. And the grace and the favor of God in her life. And dear Christian, we have been given a name. Not so much the name that our parents gave us, but the name the Lord has given us. What is our name? It is Christian. We are Christians. And so wherever we go, the fact that we are Christians should bear witness to the Lord Jesus, and that as people look upon us as Christians, they'll know we have been to Jesus. Our names will testify for us. Oh, that man's a Christian, or that woman is a Christian. We need to live up to that name. Just as Joanna, indeed, in many ways, lived up to her name. The Lord is gracious. Then that leads us now, not only to consider her history and her healer, namely the Lord Jesus, but also her husband. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward. Who would expect to find a disciple of the Lord? A disciple of the Lord Jesus in the house of a man like Herod Antipas, for that's who he was, the Tetrarch of Galilee. Herod. This is the Herod who put John the Baptist to death. This man has blood on his hands. And this is the Herod who, along with his soldiers, mocked the Lord Jesus, and you remember, set him at naught. Same Herod. So we can see that this Herod was an ungodly wretch, an ungodly man. And yet what do we find? We find one of the Lord's disciples in the house of Herod. Because she's married to Cusa, Herod's steward. You know, this is a wonderful thing. Makes you want to say, well, praise the Lord. The Lord has his elect in the strangest places in this world. You never know where you're going to meet up with one of God's elect. You never know where you're going to meet up with a fellow Christian. Perhaps in the most unlikely places. You recall what you read in the Bible about Ahab? Ahab made Israel to sin more than any other king. Married to Jezebel, Baal worshipper. And yet what do we find? We find that in the house of Ahab is a man called Obadiah. Obadiah was a disciple of the Lord. Obadiah was a man who feared God. Where do we find him? In the house of Ahab. Wouldn't expect to find a child of God there. But there he was. In Philippians 4 and verse 22, Paul's summing up is sending greetings to various believers, and he sends greetings to the saints in Caesar's household. The reference there is to that wicked man, Nero. And Nero used to capture Christians and put them on poles along the edge of the pathway leading up to his palace. And then he would set those Christians on fire to illuminate his gardens at night. That's the Caesar referred to here. What do you find? Paul speaks about the saints in Caesar's household. God has his people everywhere. Praise his name. He has his believers, his followers, his disciples everywhere. You never know where you're going to meet up with a disciple of the Lord. And here's Joanna. And she's in the house of Herod. Because her husband was Herod's steward. A word only found here and in Matthew 20 and verse 8 and Galatians 4 and 2. Where it is rendered tutor. And so we can see from this that Cusa, the husband of Joanna, was a person who held a very high and responsible position and office in the house of Herod. Was Cusa a believer? I have no idea. Was he an ungodly man, as ungodly as Herod? I have no idea. But we know this, whatever Cusa was, Joanna was a disciple of the Lord. Joanna loved the Lord. And Joanna, who loved the Lord, was in the house of Herod. We find that Joanna, being such a disciple of the Lord, witnessed a good confession for Christ in the most difficult circumstances, being surrounded by the ungodly. Joanna did well. And dear believer, in the providence of God, we may find ourselves at times in the presence of ungodly men. Let us be a true disciple to the Lord, no matter what our company may be. And let us take our stand for the Lord amongst the ungodly, just as we would amongst God's own people. And let us witness a good profession for Christ, as Joanna did. I'll have something more to say about her husband in a moment or two. But we press on and consider her helpers. We're told that there were certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. So along with Susanna and Mary Magdalene, there were many others, along with Joanna, who ministered unto Christ of their substance. These other women were Joanna's helpers. She helped them and they helped her to minister unto the Lord Jesus. Now we are given the names of three: Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna. And then it says, many others. Let us not quickly rush over those words, many others. There were many others, so quite a sizable group of women followed Christ and ministered unto him of their substance. We're not given their names. And these are amongst the unnamed disciples of the Lord. We come across them time and time again in the Gospels. Men and women who gave themselves to serving the Lord, but their names are not mentioned. And there are many people in this world, and they've given themselves to serve the Lord, but you and I don't even know them. We'll go through life, from the cradle to the grave, into the presence of God, and we'll never know those men and women who served the Lord all their days. Not know until we get to heaven, we'll be introduced to them. But here were many others who ministered unto him of their substance. But when you think of it, there was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, and many others. But there was one thing that united them all, and that is, they had all been healed by Christ. They had all met the Savior, and the Savior had transformed their lives. He was, as it were, the common denominator. Christ had changed the lives of Mary Magdalene, of Joanna and Susanna, and many others. And the point is this: here we have the company that Joanna was in. This was the company that Joanna kept. She kept company with those who knew and loved the Lord. That was her company. It has been said by some, you can always tell something about a man's character by the company he keeps. Well, here's Joanna. We see the company she kept. Her company was made up of good, godly people. Women who had been changed by the grace of God and were now serving the Lord. That was her company. And so it ought to be. We ought to keep company with God's people. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's a blessed man. And you will find that a professing Christian that feels more at home in the company of the ungodly, well, there's something wrong. And you'll find that that professing Christian will soon become like that ungodly crowd. That person will soon talk their language. He'll soon be laughing at their jokes. He'll soon be frequenting their places of amusement. He'll soon become like them. Yet the Lord has told us we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And here's Joanna and her company, God's people. That's where she felt at home. We must press on quickly. And we have Joanna, the woman devoted to Christ. Having been delivered by the grace of the Lord, we see how that Joanna and the others ministered unto him of their substance. I think it is very significant that we read about her deliverance and then her deeds. You notice that? We're told about her deliverance first, and then we're told about her deeds. Does this not indicate that after the Lord had healed her, that she wasted no time in helping him in his ministry? Does this not tell us also that faith without works is dead? And here's Joanna, she's been changed by the grace of God. She's put her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and already she's busy for the Lord. I think it's interesting that you read this in one sentence. You don't have to go to another chapter to read about what Joanna did. It's all in one sentence. You read about her deliverance and her deeds all in one sentence. And I believe there's a message there. You recall when the Lord Jesus went into the house of Simon Peter and Andrew, and they told the Lord about Simon Peter's mother-in-law, that she was ill and sick of a fever. And the Lord went over to her, and we read in Mark 1 and verse 31, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, listen, and she ministered unto them. Before the Lord left the house, Simon's mother-in-law was already ministering unto Christ. She wasted no time. Saul of Tarsus wasted no time. There lying in the dust on the road to Damascus, he cried out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Wasted no time. And yet I'm sure there are many Christians today who have been on the road, the pilgrim pathway, for many, many years, and have never said, They've never prayed, Lord, what can I do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? They've been on the road for many, many years. And yet if you were to ask them, what have you done for the Lord? They might have a job. They might have a problem telling you what they've done for the Lord. But Mary Magdalene, or sorry, Joanna, was a woman who wasted no time. She was delivered, and she was one of those women who ministered on to the Lord of her substance. There you have her service for Christ. It was a Jewish custom for women to supply their instructors with food and clothing from their own substance. It was an honored Jewish custom. But for Joanna and the other women, this wasn't just so much about a custom. This was all about devotion and love for the Lord Jesus. That's what this was about. And there you have her ministry for Christ. The Lord, of course, did not need the help of Joanna or the other women to supply his needs. Psalm 50 and verse 10 says, all the beasts of the forest were his, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. And the mighty master who multiplied loaves and fishes to feed 5,000 could have turned stones into bread for his own sustenance if he chose to do so. So why then did he allow Joanna and the other women to go with him and minister unto him of their substance? Why did he allow that? That he might prove their love. That he might prove their devotion to him. He could have supplied his needs other ways. After all, he went 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Didn't need a thing. True love will count it a pleasure, a privilege, to give anything to the object of love. Whatever is loved, whoever is loved. J.C. Ryle states, false love will often talk and profess much, but do and give nothing at all. Joanna proved her love and devotion by ministering unto him of her substance. That was her ministry. That's what she would do for the Lord. What is our ministry? Think about something else here. If Joanna was to minister to the Lord of her own substance, then she must be with him wherever he went. He has just traveled from Galilee. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And these women who ministered unto him of their substance had to travel with him. Wherever he went, that would speak to us of not only their ministry, but of the miles that they walked. Joanna must have walked many miles with the Savior. She ministered unto him. Who wouldn't want to walk many miles with Christ? We'd all want to walk many miles with the Lord. Notice the words there. In verses 1 to 3, we've already pointed out It's all one sentence. And so as the Lord went throughout every city and village, the 12 were with him and certain women. So wherever the Savior went, Joanna went, as she ministered on to him. And we see that from Mark 15, verses 40 and 41. I'm going to have to finish here. But Mark 15 and verse 40 and verse 41. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph and Salome. Now, Joanna's name's not mentioned there, but that's her company. Because it goes on to say, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. There's Joanna's company. There's Joanna's business. There's her ministry. And many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Miles and miles she must have walked with her Savior as she ministered unto him, because she was so devoted to him. She was with him every step of the way. Every step of the way. Never turning to the right or to the left. Never going back. But was with him all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem. Amazing, isn't it? Do you know how far it is from Galilee to Jerusalem? It's approximately 100 miles. 100 miles. And this woman, with the others, walked all the way with the Savior. I mentioned her husband. Now, her husband was steward in the house of Herod. And here's his wife, and she's following the Lord, walking many miles with the Savior. Now, Joanna must have had a very understanding husband. To be away from home for so long. Or else her husband perhaps was an ungodly man. And as far as Joanna was concerned, she was going to put the Lord first. And she put the Lord first. And she walked many miles in service for the Master. Here is further example of her devotion. She put her Savior first in her life. The Lord had favored her. The Lord had been gracious unto her. This was the least that she could do. We'd love to go on, but our time has gone. We'll consider the rest of the story later. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Our loving God, we bless thee for these women that we have met with in Scripture. Those, Lord, who are in love with Christ and devoted to him. O loving Father, we pray that the spirit that was in the heart of Joanna, Lord, may it be in our hearts also. That, O Lord, we will be prepared to walk many miles with the Savior. Save us, Lord, from turning to the right hand or to the left. And rather, Lord, as we considered last week, have us to go on and go through with God.